This is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and I am joined by Torch columnists Jason Bent and Matt Pelkey for a preview of Saturday's UFC 99, the comeback show from the Lanxess Arena in Cologne, Germany. Guys, we've got six fights guaranteed for pay-per-view, and while it doesn't have the biggest names in the UFC, it doesn't have the most high-profile stars, I don't see any way that this show does anything but please the fans. All the matchups on the main card are extremely exciting and set for explosive finishes and really good fights. And on the undercard as well, there's just more of that. And if things end quickly, we'll get to see some of that action as well. Jason, what are your overall thoughts on the card? And before we get into the main card, what stands out for you on the undercard of this card?
Definitely, first thing that really pops out to me is Saunders Swift. I just find that to be a truly compelling bout. Aside from that, I'm kind of split between Hardy Davis and obviously Franklin Silva. I think this is a fun card. This is the apology card for Silva and Latest. This is the apology card for anything that anyone casually has ever found boring. Not the sexiest card, no belts on the line or anything like that, but this is a fight fans who like fights kind of card. This is it from top to bottom. We're probably going to see every fight. I mean, save for maybe one, I think we're getting every single fight because I don't see many things going to the scorecards here.
Is there any one particular match on the undercard that that excites you with the six that are lined up for there?
Kelly Delgado really sticks out to me because I want to see what Delgado can do against a superior striker in Kelly. I predict Kelly to win by third round TKO, but that's a fight that just pops out to me immediately from the undercard.
Matt, same thing over to you.
Well, I love this card. Obviously, you know, you can say it a million times. It's not the sexiest card in the world. Not a lot of huge star power. No title fights or anything. But this is going to be the fight for the troops of pay-per-views. It's guaranteed fireworks, basically up and down the card, all the way down through the prelims. But six fights, I think it's a fantastic precedent, hopefully, that they're setting here, that if they're going to ask us to pay $44.95 or $54.95 if you're opting for the HD, and there's no title fight on the card, we should get six fights because there shouldn't be any problem fitting that in the time frame, especially with fights like these where, like Jason said, we're not going to see a whole lot of decisions here. And I think that's going to be a whole lot of fun. If you're a jiu-jitsu enthusiast, I would advise you to skip the show and save the money. But if you're just a fan of guys standing in front of each other and going toe-to-toe and giving everything they have, then, I mean, this is the show for you. On the undercard, I love to watch Terry Adams fight. He's fighting Justin Buckles. It's going to be a big height difference in favor of Terry Adams here. He looked fantastic in his last fight. His striking just looked fantastically crisp. We know he has a good, solid ground game, good active guard, can pull off submissions from anywhere. And Buckles is just kind of a bulldog, and he's going to bring the fight to him. So I think of all the undercard fights, that one is the one that's guaranteed to be exciting.
The thing I love about this card is the fact that you have a bunch of matchups on here that you can just look at the two names in there, and you're thinking, my God, that could be a fight of the night just on paper. And it's not really set up where you think that it'll disappoint. I mean, Davis, Hardy, you know those two are going to go toe-to-toe with each other. Swick, Saunders, same thing. Those two fights are the two fights to look out for on the main card. I think both of them have a chance to steal the show completely. And, I mean, the war words between Davis and Hardy has been heating up leading into this. And even though a lot of stuff gets contrived with it, I mean, that's one of those fights where you just want to see someone get shut up in that one, and it's going to happen. But we start the pay-per-view card. We've got Spencer Fisher against the returning Cal Uno. I'm a big Cal Uno fan. He was one half of one of my favorite fights. We talked about it on one of our MMA Torch writers roundtables. It was Cal Uno and Joachim Hansen, where Uno was winning that fight and then got himself caught in the third round and knocked the F out. But Uno is an exciting fighter. Spencer Fisher is just, he's a stud. He's 7-3 in the UFC. And his three losses, Sam Stout, Hermes Franca, and Frankie Edgar. And he revenged the Sam Stout loss, and only Franca has finished him in the UFC. He's one of the definite under the top tier challengers, and I see him taking unanimous decision here. Matt, how do you see the first fight going of the night?
I think this is Spencer Fisher's fight to lose. I'm also very excited to see Cala Uno back in the UFC. He's kind of one of the original, exciting, well-rounded, scrappy lightweights, and he's making his return at, I think he's about, 35 now. So long overdue. Maybe it's a harbinger of things to come as far as bringing over some Japanese talent, which would be pretty exciting in the UFC, especially if they were to do a show in Japan, which would be fantastic. But I don't think Uno's going to be able to take Fisher down, which I think is really the only area where he'd be able to win this fight. I think Fisher's going to be able to use his takedown defense, which isn't fantastic, but I think it'll be good enough here. Keep it on the feet and throw, these guys are just going to be trading back and forth for the time that they're standing up. I got Fisher by second round TKO in one of the, 15 fights on this card that could be fight of the night.
Jason, your thoughts on Cal Uno's return against Spencer Fisher here?
This could be a UFC Fight Night main event. It's a fantastic fight. Spencer Fisher for the new fans, Cal Uno for the, the older fans, I guess, to a point. I've got Spencer Fisher winning this one by unanimous decision. Uno's got a suspect chin. Fisher obviously has the power to knock him out. I think it's going to be more or less he's going to neutralize Uno's takedowns all night long, punish him with strikes, do enough damage to win each round, and just lump him up. Uno against anybody else, could be a nice win for him in his return, but I think going up against Spencer Fisher, it's damn near impossible, which, of course, in saying that, it could go completely the other way. This is, again, one of every fight that I'm looking forward to on this night. Obviously, it could be fight of the night, which we can say for all of them, but Uno's going to fall in his comeback fight, and here's to seeing him again in the future, along with, the influx of Japanese talent, just like Matt said, because I'm really excited for that.
Next up, we've got the return of Mirko Krokop taking on Mostafa Alturk. I don't see any way Krokop loses this fight. It's just it's not possible with the way that he strikes and how hard he can hit. Czech Congo destroyed Alturk late last year, and Krokop's making his return and is sounding serious about a run in the UFC heavyweight division. His first stint in the UFC was filled with disappointment after, multiple wins outside last year. He's coming back in and looking for a win. Dana needs him to win with his verbal contract coming in with nothing set in the future. They're still trying to hammer out the details on that. So Krokop needs to win this fight, and I see him doing it in spectacular fashion. First round KO, first round TKO, maybe a head kick KO. Alturk could take that as well, but I don't see any way this ends other than Krokop by devastation. Jason, any other thoughts on that?
No, Krokop first round TKO. Alturk can wrestle. He won't be able to take Krokop down, and he's just going to be a stationary opponent like a ball on a tee. Krokop's going to knock it out of the park. He needs this win. He'll get it Saturday.
Matt, same thing to you. Anything else to add on Krokop here?
Well, I think Krokop's going to win, but I've been of the belief since they announced his return to the UFC that I just don't think we're going to see the Krokop of old. He showed me nothing in his three fights outside of the UFC and between UFC fights that showed me that he was physically going to be the force that he was, from 2003 to 2006. I think it sounds like his head's screwed on straight, which is good. He sounds motivated. He wants to come over and prove to people that he's better than he showed. And that's good for him, and that's good for the UFC. I think he'll get a win here, but I think it's going to be more like his UFC debut against Eddie Sanchez, where he's just a better fighter, but doesn't look particularly impressive or overwhelming. I think it'll be like a second-round TKO, but hopefully he'll look at least good enough to where they can market a fight with, say, Randy Couture after his fight with Nogueira. I don't think Krokop is going to make a run at the UFC heavyweight title, despite what he says. I think it's a better idea for him and the UFC to kind of stick with, you know, let him get his feet wet here and get a win under his belt, but then stick with big money fights where he's not going to get hurt like he did against, you know, Gabriel Gonzaga. This could be a kind of swan song retirement tour for him, and, you know, fights two or three times in the UFC and make some money and let the fans get to see him one more time.
Next up, we've got Marcus Davis and Dan Hardy, and this really started after Dan Hardy knocked out Rory Markham and called out Marcus Davis as a fake Irishman and has been pumping that in message boards and interviews since then, and he lobbied for this fight and got Davis out of a fight with Ben Saunders and into a fight with him, and this is just an extremely intriguing bout, and one that we just, you know, it's going to be these two guys standing toe-to-toe for as long as it takes for someone to get knocked the hell out, and that's what's going to happen here. For Hardy, I think Davis just has better hands. He's a better striker. He's a bit above Hardy's level coming into this fight. And I see Davis taking this one with a second round TKO. This one could go to a decision. This one could end in 10 seconds. It's just one of those fights. I see Davis overtaking Hardy in the second round with his strikes and finishing this one off. Matt, where are you at on this war of words?
I'm at the same spot as you are as far as the result. You got to give Dan Hardy some credit, though. He knows how to promote a fight. He wasn't exactly a huge name in the UFC before his fight with Rory Markham, and, you know, you get to see him as the hometown hero over in England, and all of a sudden he seems like a star, and he capitalizes on that opportunity and calls out Marcus Davis, who has a pretty decent following in the UFC, a relatively popular fighter, and certainly higher up on the food chain than Dan Hardy. And, you know, he calls him a fake Irishman, and I think his mistake there is he's actually gotten under Marcus Davis's skin, and Marcus Davis is taking this really seriously and wants to punch a hole in his face, and that's not really something that I want another guy to do to me, and I think it's going to kind of backfire on Dan Hardy. You know, who knows, maybe he pulls off an upset here and shoots his way up the ladder, but I just think that Marcus Davis is better in every aspect. He's a more technical boxer. He has more power in his hands. He's a better wrestler, and he has a better submission game. So I just don't see how this works out for Hardy. In a, you know, sort of a trend here, I'm going to take Davis also second-round TKO.
Jason, your thoughts here on this fight?
Marcus Davis by third-round TKO. This is a fun fight. They're both going to stand on the dime, slug it out. Kind of like how Davis Lytle, first one to hit the ground, is a pussy. You don't even have to say that in this one. Nobody's going to hit the ground until they're actually out cold. I think Davis's boxing pedigree and his experience should allow him to prevail, but I give Hardy enough respect and credit that I do see him pushing this one to the third round. This is going to be a fun fight for, you know, from a slugfest perspective. And I think Davis definitely shuts his mouth up. You know, he's superior in all aspects of the game, but if Hardy gets the upset, he does so against a fairly known commodity and should, you know, be able to parlay this into, you know, some other top fights. So perhaps he's a future star, but I got Davis winning this one with ease.
Next up, we've got Mike Swick against Ben Saunders in another fight where you've got two guys that just love to beat up their opponents. There's just nothing else to say about those two other than the fact that that's what they like to do. Mike Swick got his nickname Quick for the fact that he can finish guys very quickly. He had some struggle dropping down to welterweight from the middleweight division where he made it his home for a while. He's lost one fight in the UFC, and that's to Yushin Okami. And Ben Saunders has a tough task ahead of him. But at the same time, Ben Saunders might be the most dangerous fighter Mike Swick has ever faced. And all you have to do is go back and look at what happened to Brandon Wolf in December and see his forehead after that fight from the quick knees from Ben Saunders in the clinch. And I love this fight. I think this is going to be the fight of the night. And I think Ben Saunders takes it with a second round TKO. I think he's going to establish himself here with a big win over Mike Swick as someone to be absolutely reckoned with at 170 pounds. Jason, how are you seeing this one going down?
Saunders with the upset, second round TKO. His submission game is excellent enough that it's going to keep Swick honest. He's brutal in the clinch. He's got great head kicks. And the intangible of being the hungrier fighter. I think Swick is going to possibly overlook him. You know, a lot of people think Saunders maybe hasn't been tested yet, look too good against Wolf, this can't be for real. And I think Swick might fall prey to that. Saunders is definitely a star in the making, and I just look for him to take out Swick, second round TKO, in what should be one of the most exciting fights of the night.
Matt, over to you for Swick versus Saunders.
Well, stop me if you've heard this one before. I have Ben Saunders by second round TKO. Jamie, this is my pick for fight of the night. And, you know, you mentioned that Mike Swick's one loss in the UFC was against Yushin Okami. And if you remember that fight, I think it was between the second and third rounds. Mike Swick was just beaten mentally, telling his corner he's too big, he's too strong. You know, he just didn't know what to do with him. Mike Swick does not like getting bullied around, which is why he moved down to welterweight, where he'd, you know, be one of the relatively bigger, stronger guys in the division. Well, Ben Saunders is a monster at 170. He looks two weight classes above Brandon Wolf in his last fight. He probably cuts, you know, 25 pounds to get down to 170. He's just a big, lanky dude. He's got good strikes. He's got good strikes from the outside. He's got good strikes from up close. He has an overwhelming clinch game. He's pretty decent on the ground. I just think he's going to put, if he's smart, he's going to put the pressure on Mike Swick from the opening bell, and Mike Swick's going to get overwhelmed again, and he's going to suffer his second loss in the octagon. Ben Saunders, this is going to be the true announcement of his arrival as one of the, you know, a top 10 contender in the UFC welterweight division. He's certainly several wins away from being in title contention, but this will be his arrival, and he's got a good personality too, a good marketable personality. I think the UFC actually would rather have Ben Saunders win this fight, and maybe they don't even know it yet.
Yeah, Ben Saunders does have a great personality, and I can attest to that from meeting him at UFC 87. And I actually have a picture with him where I for some reason a shit eating grin on my face, and he looks like he's about to knock it off of it. So that's a little entertaining anecdote on that one. From there, we move on to Czech Congo against Cain Velasquez in what will be just monster heavyweight clash. Congo's got balls for taking this fight. He's got the size of balls that he needs on a regular basis for taking this fight, and especially on short notice with Heath Herring dropping out because of his illness. Cain Velasquez at 5-0 is an extremely dangerous heavyweight. He hasn't faced anyone near the level of Czech Congo, however. And for me, Czech Congo is still going to be a better striker. He's going to be able to use his length in this fight and his reach in this fight. And if his sprawling and takedown defense is even half of what it needs to be, I think Czech Congo takes this one with, you guessed it, a second-round TKO. I think Cain Velasquez tastes defeat for the first time. But for me, he's got nothing but good things ahead of him, and he'll bounce back. But Czech Congo wants himself a heavyweight title shot. And to get that ever, he needs to win this fight. I think that extra added motivation gives it to Congo in this one. Matt, where are you at on here?
I'm the opposite way. I've got Cain Velasquez by second round TKO, and I remember saying this on a podcast we did earlier, but how often do you see where you have a fight set up and you're like, oh, that's a pretty good fight, I like that fight. Somebody gets injured and a guy steps in on short notice and you go, man, that's a much better fight than the original fight. You know, this went from a showcase fight for Cain Velasquez against Heath Herring, who, you know, has a good name, but let's face it, he's not the Heath Herring that he used to be. And in steps Czech Congo, and all of a sudden this is basically a number one contender fight for, you know, the winner of Frank Mir, Brock Lesnar at UFC 100. Dave Camarillo, the jiu-jitsu coach at American Kickboxing Academy, called Cain Velasquez the best mixed martial artist he's ever seen. And that's a man whose opinion I respect. And that's some pretty heavy praise for a guy who's 5-0 and has really yet to be tested. The wild card here is obviously Cain Velasquez's chin, because we've never seen him really, you know, hit hard in a fight, so we don't know how he's going to react if and when that happens. I would assume that Czech Congo is probably going to hit him hard at some point. I just feel like Velasquez is going to have the maturity to react appropriately and realize, hey, I need to get this fight to the ground. He's a better wrestler. If he wants to put Czech Congo on his back, he can do it. And from there, Czech Congo has gotten very good at taking people down, using his size and strength advantage, and then, you know, having a vicious top game. But off his back, he still looks like a fish out of water. I think if Cain Velasquez puts him there, he can control the fight for however long he needs to and pound him out. And I think that's going to happen in the second round.
All right, Jason, pile on. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I've got Cain Velasquez by first round TKO. Congo's got balls for taking this fight. Balls bigger than five of Brock's fists, kind of balls. This is a fight he didn't have to take. He still would have been potentially in line for something. So big ones for this one. Velasquez, he's not going to taste defeat just yet. I just think he's got superior wrestling ability to take Congo down. I don't think Congo's takedown defense is going to be good enough to sprawl and nullify that. I think Velasquez has the strength to control him once he's down, and he's got the power to knock him out on the feet, and on the ground it's just going to be much worse for it. This is a fight Congo didn't have to take, and when it's all done, it is probably one he shouldn't have, considering his age.
Well, that brings us to our main event, Rich Franklin taking on Wanderlei Silva. We've got Ace against the Axe Murderer at 195, this catch weight, with Wanderlei moving down and Rich moving up. The little side note in this fight is the fact that Franklin took a couple of weeks of training with Anderson Silva, the old shootbox training partner with Wanderlei Silva, and those two now having their feud that has begun with Wanderlei moving down and criticizing Anderson against Talis Laitis, and Anderson taking exception to that, and we've got ourselves a little bit of a backstory and a little more meaning to this Franklin Silva basically just prize fight. I mean, this was set up as they needed a main event for Germany, and they got two guys that are in need of wins and two guys that are ready to put on a great main event. Rich Franklin, even though he lost his fight to Dan Henderson, is right now a better fighter than Wanderlei Silva. Silva has lost four of his last five bouts, and he's been knocked out in three of them, knocked out cold. Rich Franklin has a reach advantage on Wanderlei Silva. Rich Franklin is a more well-rounded fighter. Wanderlei could definitely get in there and beat the crap out of him right away if he gets in and frustrates Rich. Franklin's just a really, really good fighter, and if it weren't for Anderson Silva, would still be atop of the middleweight division. Rich Franklin's going to win this one. Second round TKO for me. It could happen in the first. It could happen in the third. Franklin's got knockout power, despite what some people might say about it. He's got knockout power. Just ask Nate Quarry. And Silva's chin is China by now. So it's Rich Franklin here by a TKO for me. Wanderlei can win this fight. I'm not counting him out completely, but I see this one for Rich. I see this one going Franklin's way, and I see him being a tear at 205. Jason, where are you at?
Franklin is the under-the-radar superstar. I mean, he really is one of the best fighters in the UFC, but he's so unassuming, and he quickly gets forgotten by the, you know, seemingly bigger stars. I've got Franklin by second-round TKO. He's going to be the bigger man in this fight, size-wise. The precise punching ability is there. His hands are better. Silva might have more power, maybe not, but Silva's shots are a little wild. Franklin's are with laser-like precision. Franklin's wrestling ability is enough to nullify anything Silva tries to do, And at this point in his life, Silva is just going to want to fight on the feet. He's going to want to stand and bang. Too many knockouts. The cumulative damage is too much. His card has been punched. And he's Glass Joe. He really is. He's the Brazilian Glass Joe. And I see Franklin taking this one, second round TKO. If you come in the first, if you come in the third, hell, for all I know, Silva will do it in the first. But I've got Franklin by second round TKO. And this is a fun main event. And just what the tournament's needed to give him a great card.
All right, Matt, where are you at to round out this main event?
I'm with you guys. I got Franklin by second round TKO. Part of me didn't like this bit of matchmaking when I first heard the fight because these are both guys who are kind of trying to make a name for themselves in a new division than the one they spent most of their career. And they bring a big name with them, so obviously they're never going to be more than a couple of impressive wins away from, you know, being talked about for a title shot. And I almost thought, well, you know, why would you ruin one of their chances, basically? Because basically, whoever loses this fight, there's never going to be a title shot in their future. They're both kind of on the downsides of their careers. Vanderlei more than Rich in that aspect, but at the same time, whoever wins this fight is going to have a nice notch on their belt as they go towards that title shot in their division. You know, we all looked at when Lyoto Machida was announced that, you know, he's going to be fighting Shogun in his first title defense. Everybody thought, well, Shogun, you know, he's had two wins in a row. One was not impressive at all. The other was a semi-impressive performance against an aging, to be kind, Chuck Liddell. But, you know, Forrest was tied up, and Rashad Rampage are tied up on the Ultimate Fighter. So Rich Franklin is kind of a guy that if he looks good in this fight, there's really no reason that he couldn't be on the short list of title contenders at 205. He can certainly sell a pay-per-view still. He's kind of one of the big names left over that's still around from the first Ultimate Fighter era with Chuck Liddell and Matt Hughes kind of being the other two big names from that era, and they're both pretty much done in their careers, but Rich Franklin still has some fight left in him. So I think he has everything going for him in this fight. If this fight was taking place, you know, 4 years ago when Vanderlei Silva's chin wasn't, beyond a question mark, I might think he had the game to kind of get inside Rich and frustrate him with knees and, you know, his flurry on the inside. But nowadays, Franklin can kind of just sit on the outside and pick his shots. And he does have knockout power. He's not, you know, going to knock out every opponent with one punch, but he has that capability. Like you said, watch the Nate Quarry fight. That's as clean of a knockout as you're ever going to see. So, and Rich Franklin's punches come from looping wide angles, which is exactly the shot that Rampage put Vanderlei Silva out with. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that. I would think more likely Silva will get rocked by a shot and Franklin will, you know, capitalize and jump on him and pound him out on the ground. But I don't see Silva being able to win this fight, which is almost disappointing because Silva versus Silva, despite the mismatch inside the octagon, would, I think, do some pretty good numbers and would be a lot of fun trash-talking leading up to it. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Rich Franklin gets the win here in a really fun fight and then moves his way up the 205 ladder, hopefully, reestablishing himself as a contender and rightfully as one of the better fighters in the UFC.
All right, guys. Well, we've got a lot of action on Saturday. You can either watch it on pay-per-view live at 3 p.m. Eastern time or at the UFC's regular pay-per-view time at 10 p.m. Eastern with the replay. So plenty of action on this card, a lot to look forward to. If you order the card, I guarantee it won't be disappointing. And we will talk to you guys next week about this and heading into the Ultimate Fighter finale.
All right, take it easy.